Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Everybody, welcome to the Roto-World Football Show. It's Patrick Daugherty and Denny Carter. It is free agent week, one of the craziest weeks annually at NBC Sports Edge / Roto-World. I've been doing it since 2011. My first year actually was not, I didn't get a representative sample because it was the lockout year. And then we were waiting and waiting for the lockout to end. And then that summer I was going one place. I was going to the beach for a week with my wife's family. And while I was at the airport, leaving for the trip, it was announced the lockout was over, and I was unable to assist Evan Silva, Chris Wessling, Adam Levitan, and thankfully they did not murder me for being during the busiest week in the history of the site. And but yeah, Dan, there's a lot of grinding. There's a lot of shy Tuttle blurb finishing that you did this morning. You said you wanted to take people behind the curtain a little bit on what it's like to blurb here during free agency.
I did. Yeah, so I joined in 2020. I guess so my first free agency was spring of 2021, and I kind of thought you guys were exaggerating. I thought, well, I know how free agency goes, you know, I understand that things are happening, lots of moving pieces, lots of details, but I'm pretty sure you guys are making it way worse than it seems. You were not. It turns out you were not making it. In fact, you made it way better.
because we undersold the misery.
It's really something when you have today I had four tabs open on Shy Tuttle.
Say, Denny, tell me you don't know anything off the top of your head about Shy Tuttle.
I know very little except for that he's a defensive lineman, and so had to find a lot of information. I now know everything there is to know about Shy Tuttle, by the way. But that is a little peek behind the curtain. It is lots and lots of details that you got to gather up very quickly behind the scenes.
This is one thing to people don't realize about blurbing, that like there's a lot of like really smart football people and a lot of really good writers, and who probably understandably think the job isn't that hard. And now I'm getting into like first world problems. Like, you don't know how hard this job is.
People
don't realize though. Yeah. Like the average blurb, even like a really simple, straightforward blurb, like you have to have like seriously four tabs, like Pro Football Reference open, ESPN game log open, Over the Cap open, Wikipedia open, see their draft status or something. Like the amount of research that goes even for football experts into very, very like common blurbs is crazy.
It is. And yes, I don't want to say that, you know, I would rather, I don't know, face a lunch crowd at Chick-fil-A as a worker there than do blurbs. I'm doing blurbs all day over that other option. But it is very an intensive process, especially when things are flying on your timeline like they are during free agency and during the NFL draft as well. And shortly after, of course, the apocalypse for us is right after the NFL draft. Yes. When undrafted free agents are signed.
Yes.
And we all simultaneously lose our minds.
Free agency is bad, but there's nothing like day three of the draft with the undrafted free agents. And there's nothing like cut down week. Those are what are known as the weeks of misery, the march of misery at Roto World. And it's pure hell. Speaking of misery, by the way, the lunch at Chick-fil-A thing you say, I just don't get it. A Chick-fil-A just opened by my house recently.
Yeah.
And people are acting like they've never had Chick-fil-A before. I'm like, dude, you ever been in an airport? Like, I'm sure you've had Chick-fil-A. Like, just calm down. You don't need, there's need to be 60 cars at this Chick-fil-A.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying. I mean, yeah, the people love their Chick-fil-A, and I can't blame them. I would do some pretty awful things for a Chick-fil-A sandwich right now.
I actually am very hungry. The people love their Chick-fil-A. The people apparently love their Jimmy Garoppolo. We know the computers love their Jimmy Garoppolo. So we're going to talk Jimmy Garoppolo being the new Raiders' new franchise quarterback. We're going to talk DJ Moore, now the Bears' new number one receiver that we have not gotten to yet on Roto World Football Show. We're going to talk Austin Ekeler rumors, Broncos wide receiver rumors, Jarrett Stidham increasing the heat on Russell Wilson's seat in Denver. And we're also just full, so we're recording this Monday afternoon. The podcast could be hopelessly outdated by the time you hear it.
But, so please,
we're not going to lie.
Have mercy. Please,
not going to lie about that. I'm not even going to try to pull the wool over your eyes on that one. This podcast will age poorly, but it will not age poorly in Jimmy Garoppolo, which is where we begin, Denny. The computers love the man. Apparently, Josh McDaniels loves the man. He was part of the brain trust that drafted him in New England. He's given him his first post Kyle Shanahan swing. I mean, my opinion on Jimmy Garoppolo is that he's a product of Kyle Shanahan. And even with Kyle Shanahan, he spectacularly fails the eye test, but he gets the advanced data job done.
Yes.
But what do we think his odds of success are in Las Vegas, Nevada?
Yeah, 3-year deal for Jimmy G. Finally, he leaves San Francisco. I actually thought it would never happen, but yes, he is going to be the Raiders quarterback going forward. So they go from mid quarterback to mid quarterback, exchanging Derek Carr for Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't really.
Just say it's what your son would call a mid off.
I mean, the kids. I'm hearing the kids right now, and they're calling it.
They're banging on your door and telling you what it's actually called, and you refuse to say it.
Dad, it's a mid off. Call it a mid off. So. I guess it's fine for like Devontae Adams for the rest of the pass catchers. I mean, it's the same. It's the same. It's not a huge change either way. But I have to say, now you said a minute ago, and I agree to an extent, that Jimmy Garoppolo, like a lot of Kyle Shanahan quarterbacks, including probably Brock Purdy, is a product of that offense, right? Sort of a push button offense. Now, And I'm going to start here from 2017 when Garoppolo went to the Niners through the 2022 season. Okay, so we're talking about five years. Of course, he missed time during those 5 years. But since 2017, Jimmy Garoppolo has the third highest adjusted EPA per play of any quarterback in the league, trailing only Patrick Mahomes and Drew Brees.
This is why the AI will never work. It'll never work.
I mean, this is bad news. Like this and Nikola Jokic being the MVP 3 times in a row. Bad news for analytics.
It is bad news.
So only Patrick Mahomes had a higher dropback success rate than Jimmy over that 5-year span.
Give me a break, man.
Only Mahomes.
What is wrong with our nation's computers? Has anyone checked on the computers?
We have to look into it very powerfully. But then, okay, so then I said, okay, wait, now, enough of that Shanahan stuff. Let's track all the way back to when Jimmy was playing for Josh McDaniels in New England, right? So in 2016, the Zoomers won't remember this, but in 2016, Jimmy Garoppolo started 2 games for New England. He threw 63 passes, and I take no pleasure in reporting he had the league's highest EPA per dropback that season. So I don't know, folks. Maybe he's good.
I'll say this. Where I will start is those 2 starts under Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick were supposed to be 4 starts. Tom Brady was suspended 4 games. But in true Jimmy Garoppolo fashion, he got injured and missed 2 of those games.
Yeah.
We debate, you know, if injury prone is actually a thing. But Jimmy Garoppolo has missed a lot of time with injury. He seems to get injured basically every year. I mean, I don't know if you can call like a broken ankle injury prone. Like, you know, your ankle just doesn't like break. Like, it's not like a body thing.
He's immobile.
He is immobile. So yeah, it does increase your injury proneness. And that's first concern with Jimmy Garoppolo. Second concern is, so okay, he was efficient in the really small sample size for Josh McDaniels. That was also Bill Belichick, the greatest football mind of many generations. We have Josh McDaniels, who's supposed to be the offensive genius, and yet Derek Carr was far less efficient under Josh McDaniels than he was under John Gruden, who's a punchline in the NFL community. He got way, way more out of Derek Carr than Josh McDaniels did. I think the drop off from Kyle Shanahan to Josh McDaniels from like a offensive mastermind perspective is enormous. And I mean, I think Kyle Shanahan's the guy I would pick if I want managing, manipulating a quarterback. I don't know where Josh McDaniels ranks on that scale right now. You're going to jump in real quick.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. I when I wrote about Derek Carr versus Andy Dalton, which is somewhere on our site now.
No, we deleted that.
There was, well, I don't blame you, but there was a monster drop off in every measurable way with Derek Carr under Josh McDaniels. And I mean, Josh McDaniels has had no success so far, as a head coach, like especially with his quarterback situation. So I don't know if he can coax Jimmy into this like super analytics friendly high EPA type play that that he had in New England and that he had obviously in San Francisco under Shanahan.
You said just no success away from Bill Belichick. I suffered through when I was still like had a team I was a fan of, the 2010 or 11 Rams. I can't remember what year it was. I think 10, where he was supposed to be like the guy who was going to save Sam Bradford's career, Josh McDaniels. Spoiler alert, he did not do that.
Didn't do it.
Didn't come close to doing that. He has this horrible taste in quarterbacks.
Yes.
Josh McDaniels, he hitched his wagon in Denver to Kyle Orton after he chased off Jay Cutler, which I guess fair play on chasing off Jay Cutler, but hitched his wagon to Kyle Orton. He took Tim Tebow in the first round of the NFL draft. He took a job where Derek Carr was the quarterback. I mean, and my final concern too, just on where I think the drop-off will be really severe for Jimmy Garoppolo, and this is getting into like Luddite territory, but with the eye test, I think Jimmy Garoppolo, especially like in the short to intermediate areas of the field, is like a lot less accurate than Derek Carr, even though he has really high completion percentage, even though he has really, really high advanced metrics in those areas. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, we know, is the guy who like more than almost any quarterback in the NFL will uncork a pass. And it was just like, what? what was that? Right.
There was no receiver within eight.
No. And he's like a big time what quarterback. And that gets hidden a lot when Kyle Shanahan's calling the plays. And it's creating layup after layup after layup. And without those layups that not even Jimmy Garoppolo can miss under Josh McDaniels, I think the thing is kind of trending toward like a fiasco. And Jimmy Garoppolo, can we think of any receiver ever that Jimmy Garoppolo's like had a mind meld with? Like, say what you will about Derek Carr, he at least understood the Davante Adams assignment. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo has never just like locked on to a guy. Right. Maybe that's part of the scheme. Maybe the scheme is just too good.
I think it's scheme related.
Yeah, he didn't need to do that.
And very few quarterbacks, including Jimmy Garoppolo, have ever played with a receiver as dominant as Davante Adams. So I don't necessarily worry too much about Adams like losing targets.
That's the whole
offense. The whole offense is just throw it into coverage against Davante Adams and let him do his thing. Like that's all they do.
That's all they do. But I mean, no one was expecting us to come in this conversation like, yeah, we love it. We love Jimmy.
No. I mean, we can just skip to the part where Garoppolo gets hurt or benched and McDaniel loses his job at the end of the year. I mean, that's what we need to skip to.
He's not going to get benched for Jarrett Stidham, Denny, who Josh McDaniel seemed to like, was also a part of drafting him in New England. And now Jarrett Stidham, I don't even know where we're really going to go with this part of the conversation.
Oh.
2-year, $10 million deal with the Broncos to back up Russell Wilson. It's not the most expensive backup quarterback contract you'll ever see. It is on the high end for a backup quarterback contract. You certainly arch an eyebrow after you endure the season Russell Wilson just had and someone guarantees his backup $5 million, which is what the Broncos did with Jarrett Stidham. Sean Payton seems to be a guy who has very interesting taste in quarterbacks. My Dolphins friend reminded me this morning that he apparently said on Fox last year that Teddy Bridgewater was better than Tua Tagovailoa. And so he has very specific things he's looking for in quarterbacks. We know one thing he looks for in a quarterback is do the system. Like, he's already come out in no uncertain terms. I mean, like, yeah, Russell Wilson's not going to be freelancing. He will be learning the audibles. Seems very important for a quarterback. Yeah. We know that, like, Jarrett Stidham's not going to challenging Russell Wilson's job in training camp.
Probably not.
Hold on. All right, you take it away. What are your thoughts on Jarrett Stidham arriving in the Mile High City?
Look, I'm just saying, I mean, very likely he won't challenge Russell Wilson. I think that this signing is one where Sean Payton and the staff are saying, look, if Russell is cooked, we can't not have like a viable backup option. Like we can't just like trudge through 17 games next year where he's playing exactly like he did last year. I don't think that will happen, by the way. I do think that Russell Wilson will bounce back to an extent. I don't think that he's going to get back to like prime Russell Wilson territory, but I think it's smart. I think it's a smart move to say like what we're seeing on tape, what the numbers say from last year is really, really quite concerning for an aging quarterback like Russell Wilson. Let's make sure that our team is not sunk if he can't get it right, you know, and that's where Stidham comes in. Not that Stidham is, you know, good by any means, but you have to have someone who can at least conduct the offense the way it's supposed to be conducted.
It's just the classic two actions speak louder than words move, or it doesn't really matter what they say. The reality is minutes into free agency, or excuse me, legal tampering, into the legal tampering period, they signed a backup quarterback for $10 million, well, $5 million guaranteed. Like there's no way to spin that other than, uh-oh, we need to have a legitimate backup plan.
Coaches seem to love Jarrett Stidham. I will
say
that.
Why do they ever?
And by the way, you know, like this is the move that Sean McVay and the Rams did not make last year.
Man,
like,
true.
This sort of move is the thing. Okay, look, if Matthew Stafford goes down, we're finished. We cannot. We're a bottom five team in the whole league if Matthew Stafford goes down. And despite that, they made no moves to shore up the quarterback room behind him. So I think that's what the Broncos are trying to do here.
I need to go on a Rams rant really quick, by the way. I don't think I've ever said this phrase on the show before. I can pause in like a radio show. You know, I need to go on. I need to say something about this real quick. I need to say something real quick, Denny, about the Rams team that's really been bugging me. But yeah, I mean, can the Rams just like commit to any player or plan for more than 5 minutes? Like, it's cool that they got all the stars and then lucked into the Super Bowl. But like, I mean, every single big move they make, they move on from immediately. Sammy Watkins, Brandon Cooks, the Todd Gurley extension. I mean, now Jalen Ramsey. Like, they do all these Sean McVay falls in and out of love, like, so quickly. Like, they have to commit to some, like, greater, broader vision. They can't have everything just be so – they clearly just, like, fall in love with players. And I'm sure that's very hard to avoid, and they were rewarded for it for a while, but they have to have some better system than just, I got to get my guy. It's not going to work any longer. And they seem to have admitted that.
The Rams are the ADHD organization. You know, they cannot focus on one thing for more than 5 seconds. And that's what you see over and over and over again. I will say they're the ADHD organization and they're unmedicated, you know? Yeah. So therefore Jalen Ramsey comes in and comes out, and Sammy Watkins is supposed to be a critical piece of the offense, and he's gone within 15 minutes. And now they're talking. I mean, there are rumors. People are saying Stafford might be
exactly. That was part of the rant. I forgot. Yeah. So our own Matthew Berry at the vanguard of those rumors that have since been seconded elsewhere.
Yes. So you know, let's have a plan. Not even a long term plan. Maybe a 3-year plan. That would be nice for the Rams.
Would be right. Can I say something? I want to say something real quick. I know we got to go to commercial or Jim Trenary Chevrolet, but I got to say something real quick. That's where I got my beautiful, beautiful Camaro, Jim Trenary Chevrolet. But first, Denny. Okay, sorry.
But before you do the rant, you have to go. You have to talk about yourself. Now you know that I'm a man who doesn't fly off the handle easily.
It's true. I'm wearing a blood pressure monitor on my arm, and my doctor mandated it. I don't get angry quick, Denny.
Ask anyone.
Yes, my wife and 4 kids. I don't ever fly off the handle. I don't care at all. You leave your shoes in the doorway, Pat. I don't care about that.
Fewer than 3 TVs over the past year.
Really? Seriously, my kids, can you please stop leaving your shoes right in the door?
God, it would be great if there could be fewer shoes in and around the doorway.
There's a lot of space in this house. Just take them off anywhere else. sorry if I've blown out your eardrums with my AM radio, or I guess it's FM radio these days, talk show. But yeah, I just had to get that off my chest.
Yes. Hopefully the kids are listening.
Yeah, they're not. My kid. Oh yeah. My 2 week old daughter might be asleep right above me. I really hope she slept through that, Denny. Yeah. I'm sure you didn't sleep through that. If you were listening to the podcast, you now have tinnitus. So I feel like it's a good time to give you a short little break. We will be right back after this.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
New MLB season, new rules, new stars. So pair it with the Roto-World Baseball Draft Guide. Get all the player profiles, rankings, and projections you need to hit your draft out of the park. Go to NBCSportsEdge.com/draft guide and use promo code PENNANT25 to save 25% off at checkout. That is promo code PENNANT25 to save 25% at checkout. And don't forget, download the Roto-World app to receive breaking player news all season long. Stay ahead of the competition by favoriting players in your roster. Get the latest injury updates, player news, and much more delivered right to your phone. It is available in your app store today. Mention the draft guide. I have to mention, of course, my participation in our live mock draft that you can find on YouTube with such awesome Roto-World talents as Matthew Poliot, DJ Short, Connor Rogers, awesome outside guests. It was a really, really good time. Check it out. Denny won't watch it. He doesn't care.
I have watched every NBC production made over the past 3 years. I will watch this as well.
Are you going to bandwagon the Orioles this year by any chance?
Are they supposed to be good?
No, well, they're good, but it's the huge scandal. They're nearing the supposed end of the rebuild, but they refuse to spend any money.
Oh.
So they have a lot of really good young talent. You get to know Gunnar Henderson.
Yeah. Denny,
one of the best shortstop. Adley Rutschman. One of the best young catchers in baseball. You should get some jerseys you could at least buy maybe for your son.
Brady Anderson, guys like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's things of that nature. Buy your son, though, maybe a Gunnar Henderson jersey. Oh, your son, I know your son is the ultimate modern kid. He likes Minecraft. Has he ever once watched baseball? Your son?
God, no.
Man, this is bad.
No, nobody under 20 years old has ever watched baseball.
Yeah, this is really, really bad.
I mean, that's why they have the pitch clock, right? Man. That's the whole point. Try to get the kids into it.
I need to get some off my chest. I don't like the pitch clock.
I can talk about the pitch clock.
To me, the whole point about baseball is it is languid and on for 3.5 hours. That's why I like it. I can come in and out of the room. I used to be able to like get an entire bowl of cereal prepared in between pitches.
No, man.
I like that.
I mean, look, I watch golf, so I do understand
the
languid nature of a sport and watching a guy take 8 practice swings.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Golf, yeah.
It's pretty slow. It's pretty slow. Well, now that you're awake, are they considering I'm sorry. I wanted to ask. Are we getting the bigger bases this year?
We are. They are slightly bigger bases, supposed to enhance the running game, create more stolen base opportunities. It worked in the minor league. That is actually really cool because Baseball is just trying to restore motion to the game, and the early returns in spring training have been amazing.
Yeah.
Yes, they have. So
okay. All right.
Dolph trying to liven it up, by the way, by having a breakaway league with a TV deal on the CW.
That is livening it up. Yeah. And they also in the, you know, breaks between swings, they talk about tax policy.
So that, yeah, there you go.
And players are interested.
And discovery laws in American courts that the certain investment fund does not want to come into play. Speaking of other things than what we were just talking about, Denny, DJ Moore, part of the blockbuster trade up for the Carolina Panthers, who are supposedly big braining and might trade the number one overall pick. I don't believe that for like even 2 seconds.
Yeah, man.
But part of the picks cash they sent to Chicago for the number one overall pick included a player, which does not happen very often in the NFL, even though it absolutely should. Teams overvalue draft pick lottery tickets more than proven talent. The Bears did not do that. They want to evaluate Justin Fields. They want to just have more talent on the roster. They got it in DJ Moore. There's a divide on DJ Moore after, 5 years in the league about how good he actually is. I've always maintained he was like a Steph Diggs season waiting to happen because the way he's really good in the short area of the field, but can also do damage deep. I know some more of like the true blue tape watchers do not share that assessment. Just what do we think, though, in the fantasy community about DJ Moore linking up with Justin Fields?
Yeah, I want to be excited, and I did see a lot of excitement on Twitter. Hey, you know, if DJ Moore finally gets a real quarterback, this and that. But man, there's no denying that DJ Moore is now in one of the, if not the single least fantasy friendly environment possible for a wide receiver. And I say that because last season, and I understand things could change over the offseason and the fact that maybe they didn't have pass catchers, so they didn't go in this direction. But let me just emphasize for those who forgot, somehow how run heavy the Bears were in 2022. They were under their expected pass rate every single game. Okay. One of only two teams to do that. Their highest pass rate over expected in a game, Pat, was -5%. That was their highest. Okay. They were regularly, you know, -15, -20%. Justin Fields averaged 21 pass attempts per game. He was 28th in dropbacks behind quarterbacks who played 10 and 11 games last year. So in this environment, it is very hard to tell yourself a story where DJ Moore is seeing more than, I don't know, 6 or 7 targets in a game. He's going to have to be super, super efficient. That's what I would say here. Now, if the Bears decide, hey, you know what? We have Chase Claypool and Kmet, and Justin Fields is going to take this next step. And Justin Fields goes from 21 pass attempts to 28 pass attempts a game. Then we're probably talking, okay, with DJ Moore. But I think that's a big leap to make with this team.
Yeah, I mean, they need to be this year's Eagles, basically, where they go from being one of the most run heavy teams in the league to far more balanced and occasionally actually pass heavy, like the Eagles were in 2022. But they also, that would require a Jalen Hurts type leap for Justin Fields. And Jalen Hurts was already like a lot more efficient as a passer than Justin Fields was at this point in his career.
Yeah.
And not as big of an arm maybe as Justin Fields, not as breathtaking of an athlete as Justin Fields, but just, he had a much higher baseline as a passer already entering like his third year as starter, where Justin Fields will be doing. And just the really big issue, of course, is Justin Fields just being a sack magnet. We know part of that, of course, was his protection issues, which the Bears have addressed by signing Mike McGlinchey. Oh, no, excuse me. They actually wanted to. He went to the Broncos.
Yeah, he went to Denver.
So never mind about that. Nope. My brain is already fried one day in free agency. That's good.
That's really good for the rest of the week.
Real, real good. But DJ Moore, it comes down to one of two things. They either need an Eagles-type philosophical adjustment on offense, or it needs to be one of those situations where he's the guy who dominates all the air yards, has an astronomical target share. It's just hard to see that happening with Chase Claypool, who they surrendered a second-round pick for. Darnell Mooney, who is now actually one of the best number three receivers in the NFL. Maybe he's the Bears' number two receiver. Maybe Chase Claypool will be kind of like a role-playing number three. But it's actually a fairly talented, at least talented receiver core now. And it just seems like it's going to be hard to dominate targets to the degree that he needs to. Mm-hmm. In an offense that, even if it does go more pass-heavy, probably isn't going to be actually pass-heavy. And yeah, it's he's talented and he's playing like a born playmaker. So there is the possibility that he goes nuclear. We actually can't discount the possibility that DJ Moore goes nuclear, but it doesn't seem like the most likely outcome.
I will say that DJ Moore has demonstrated an ability over the years, including last year in a just disastrous environment in Carolina, to both command air yards and targets. Last year, I was doing this offseason research for a piece I wrote last month for our site, and DJ Moore had 60% of the Panthers' air yards over the final 2 months of the season. 60%. Okay, no one else had more than 30%. Like it's just wildly dominant. Okay. I think that he can do that, but I think making that jump, saying, okay, the Bears are on their way to shifting to a more traditional balanced offense here, I think that takes quite the jump from what they were last year. I don't know if I can do it. I will say that if this is the common thinking, if what I'm spelling out here is the common thinking this spring and summer, and people are saying, no, I'm not in on Moore, and Moore's ADP drops to a certain point, then I'm in. But I'm not paying a premium for DJ Moore in a what should be a terrible fantasy environment for him.
Yeah, he's a guy who had three straight 1,100 yard seasons where just never had a good quarterback that entire time span. It did catch up with him last year under 900 yards, even though he's appeared in all 17 games, but he's put a lot of really good things on film. Like you said, we know target commanding is a skill. It's not something that just happens. He's always been a target commander. Yeah. He could go, he's somehow only 25 years old. He turns 26 in a month. So it'll be his age 26 season. But yeah, he's a guy where it would be so easy to make the negative case all offseason. And it's probably more likely than the positive case, but we can't discount the possibility that he does like erupt. It is within the range of outcomes.
I think, yes, I think that there certainly is that possibility, but to will DJ Moore to happen in a low volume passing environment just seems like the recipe for heartache to me.
Yes, it's like a recipe for heartbreak, Denny. And speaking of just the Bears and Justin Fields, we were talking about before the show what we're going to talk about today, and I said, you know, how high can Justin Fields finish in 2022? And I realized that was a really dumb question because it's self-evident that he has the upside to be the number one overall quarterback when he's rushing. He was at times last year. We know that's in the range of outcomes. How likely is it, Denny Carter, that Justin Fields finishes as the number one overall fantasy quarterback in 2023, where 0% is an acceptable answer? He was the QB6 by average points in 2022.
I think it's more likely for Fields to finish as the overall QB1 than anyone outside of Hurts, Allen, and Mahomes.
That sounds right to me. I like his odds better than Joe Burrow. Probably like his odds better than Lamar Jackson, just because we don't even know what's going on.
Yeah, I know. I threw Mahomes in there, even though he doesn't have the rushing, because the rushing is the cheat code here. You know, that's what we're chasing. So, you know, in the glorious future, all elite NFL running quarterbacks are going to be running guys. Like, it is going to happen. So, yeah, Burrow's not in that conversation. Hurts and Allen and Fields are in that conversation for me. Yeah, I mean, Fields would have broken the single season quarterback rushing record if he had played in the final game last year. He was banged up, which, of course, is inherently part of the deal when you are a running quarterback. So I don't know if that's going to that sort of pace, that clip is going to continue. But yeah, I mean, there's no reason to fade Justin Fields. I don't know I don't know if anyone looks back at last year and goes, oh, he can't do that again. I think.
Yeah. It's crazy. He had 400 more rushing yards than Jalen Hurts, but five fewer rushing touchdowns. So there's definitely meat on the, I mean, David Montgomery not being brought back, it appears, in free agency either, where maybe he can be turned into a total goal line weapon, or
that'd be awesome.
Or maybe they try to avoid that because they don't want him to get hurt. That's another possibility. But yeah, there's Justin Fields. Even if he doesn't progress as a passer, even if he regresses as a passer, he's going to be a top eight QB1 no matter what. Well, he with QB1 overall upside.
He was throwing to the worst receiver group in the entire NFL last year, and with Darnell Mooney going down to injury around midseason. So it's a huge upgrade to have DJ Moore. I mean, DJ Moore is like prime Jerry Rice compared to the guys he was throwing to.
Byron Pringle, Equanimeous St. Brown.
I mean, no offense to Byron Pringle, who's a big listener of this show. I know.
And once, I was about to make a Pringles joke, and I want to fire myself.
Wow, yeah. You'd have to go.
I would have to go. It'd be sad, but it would be time. Everyone's time comes. And when I made a Pringles joke, that's when it was time. It's now time to talk about Austin Ekeler, who, in the first real big surprise of free agency, was revealed on Monday, has requested a trade. We really hope by the time you're listening to this podcast, like, he hasn't already been traded or signed an extension or something. But Austin Ekeler out there, friend of the fantasy community, friend of Patrick Crane, made a video for him. He's apparently requesting a trade, not getting what he wants in extension talks with the Chargers. And I mean, what should this conversation be about? Where we want him to be, Denny? What the odds of him getting dealt are? But what are your Austin Ekeler thoughts you need to unload on America and the world abroad?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking to Europe.
We've got listeners worldwide. It's actually not a joke.
Talking to Antarctica, everybody. And I will say that I don't know if his utilization could be better than it has been in Los Angeles. So
yeah. Ooh, I remember to say Los Angeles and not San Diego. That just, you got to raise.
I never even heard of San Diego. But yeah, no. And sorry to San Diego folks, but I'm jealous of your weather. It's 30 degrees out and raining and
very cold here too. I've informed it was meteorological spring already and not seeming that way.
No, I haven't seen the sun in a week and I'm jealous. So that's why I cracked on San Diego folks. So yeah, I think that anywhere he goes is probably going to be a downgrade for his usage. You know, he's still a first round fantasy pick though, wherever he lands, because he's a fantastic producer after the catch and a target hog out of the backfield. He'll have that role wherever he goes. I just don't know if it'll be to the extent that he's had it with the Chargers.
Would it be a downgrade if he became the pass catching back for Sean Payton, which this probably isn't happening, but
oh man,
I haven't heard, but there hasn't been any report to this effect, by the way. This is
I mean, maybe
that was one of the only situations I could think of that would be better.
That's interesting. Javonte Williams
coming off the ACL.
The ACL, and you know, there are varying reports. The team insists everything is fine. He'll be back week one. That, you know, every other report coming out of Denver is saying it's the first month at least that he's going to lose, and possibly the whole. We've heard the whole season from some reporters in Denver. So. That would make some sense to me. I would hope that he doesn't go somewhere where he would just destroy the fantasy value of an up and coming running back. I'm trying to think of a spot. Oh, like Seattle or something.
Yeah, boy, like, that would be real bad.
Don't go to Seattle, Austin.
The Broncos came to mind. I mean, they're not like overflowing with cap space, but they're not in like cap hell. I mean, the Dolphins really come to mind, but I don't really know how much money they have left, how many draft picks they even have left to make a move. I'm sure the Dolphins are powerfully looking into it, but there's like no way they're not. But they just might not have the resources to make it happen. I could see – you're talking about destroying like a young up-and-comer's value. I could see the Jets being a possibility, although the Jets are kind of in cap hell too. But like if they get Aaron Rodgers, which Aaron Rodgers hasn't signed yet or hasn't agreed to a trade yet. No. Could see trying to surround him with as many weapons as possible. Kenneth Walker coming off an injury. Breece Hall. Getting all my rookie running backs confused. But I could see the Jets being a possibility. I don't know why, though.
Yeah, I mean, it would be cool if he went somewhere where, you know, he could continue seeing, you know, 7, 8, 9 targets a game. Some like maybe half the rushing in an offense. I think that could buoy his fantasy prospects.
The Bengals could move on from Joe Mixon. They have a lot of cap space. They got to extend Joe Burrow, but he could be a 2-year option for the Bengals. Yeah,
that's the spot. All right, we've determined it. Austin Ekeler needs to go to the Bengals.
They can go all in on like their spread, like futuristic yeah. passing offense.
That's right.
Be amazing. So there are a lot of good places. I'm assuming he will kind of control the process too. I mean, though, he's getting old. He probably – Austin Eckler is going to have to maximize his earnings. So, like, if the Texans are going to pay him, he's going to go to the Texans. Oof. But, yeah, we hope Austin Eckler ends up somewhere.
Yeah, how old is he? He's turning 28 in May, yeah.
Elderly for a running back.
Derrick Henry, 29 years old. I just saw that. Wow, he's still doing it, folks.
Mm-hmm. He is still getting away with it. Hasn't been traded yet, though, and we don't know if he'll be traded. So Austin Eckler could be on the move. Broncos wide receivers supposedly could be on the move. Some noise coming out that they want to trade someone. Connecting the dots, you'd have to assume they want to trade Cortland Sutton, who has not been the same since tearing his ACL. Very highly paid. Doesn't seem like a good fit for the Sean Payton offense. Sean Payton offense used to have like the Devery Henderson role, as it was known as. They used to have a field-stretching deep threat, like the Ted Ginn role, but it was always like a speedster. It wasn't a big guy like Cortland Sutton, who was never the fastest to begin with. Now it's the ACL problems. Doesn't seem like this is a good fit for this timing-based, short-area offense we know Sean Payton loves. I wouldn't be surprised maybe if he got released, Cortland Sutton. What are your thoughts on potentially Cortland Sutton, where maybe he could go?
Yeah.
That kind of, if you even think it is Cortland Sutton, I don't know, maybe they'll trade Jerry Jeudy or something.
I would be surprised with Jeudy, man. I think Jeudy fits that.
Jeudy does offense. Big time, because he's a slot guy who can also make plays deep.
And he really showed something at the end of last year. You know, and I had the wide receiver piece last month about where I mentioned Jeudy popped across the board in the last six games of the season. Super efficient, both on downfield targets and short area targets after the catch stuff. He was hot to end the year. I would think that the Broncos, barring any sort of personality issues, would want to keep Jerry Jeudy. Cortland Sutton strikes me as a relic of another NFL where big lumbering outside receivers were desired. And that's not the NFL we observe anymore and that we cover. I don't know where he would be a good fit. He strikes me as a Kenny Golladay type guy who will probably be overpaid and will be used, you know, possibly as a red zone guy. But beyond that, I just don't see it. One of the most abysmal targets per route run numbers in recent memory last year for Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, and just it is just kind of who's going to trade for this guy. And I don't think they can cut him, though, looking at his over the cap, where there would be no cap savings if he were cut now. And if he was designated a post-June 1st release, it would only clear $500,000 for 2023. So not a very cap-conscious move. So they would actually have to trade him. But, yeah, the Patriots, this is the kind of guy they would have traded for, but they've already traded for this kind of guy three times now. They're right. Not going to be trading for Cortland Sutton. And he was a guy, he was kind of a bygone era receiver, but he was making it work. He was producing with whatever quarterback you put out there, and he was winning hand fights on the sideline. He just has not been doing that since he got injured. No. And yeah, I just don't – he's making $14 million this year. I don't know who is taking on that contract.
I think we tend to take it for granted that these guys come back perfectly fine from devastating knee injuries. And, you know, he suffered one in 2020, I believe that, you know,
2020.
It was the COVID season. And then he came back and clearly wasn't the same for fantasy purposes. He was not usable at all in 2021. 2022 was supposed to be the bounce back. Didn't really happen. I mean, he was slightly better. But still not there. Sometimes guys just don't come back from that, especially these huge receivers who age so poorly. And Cortland Sutton is a very large man.
Yeah, and this, like you said, the Kenny Golladay, not the same ever after getting injured. And
yeah,
the big receivers just age very, very poorly, unless their name is Julio Jones. Even he aged sort of poorly, but
he aged pretty badly.
He did, but he kept producing 1,400-yard seasons basically into his early 30s.
Yeah, while running with one hand.
Yeah, exactly. He's playing one leg, and he was still doing it. So, yeah, I can't imagine they're trading. Maybe someone will take a flyer like Tim Patrick or something, because he's got a pretty affordable contract. And Jerry Jeudy would be a much more attractive trade chip still on his rookie contract, but yeah, I just can't see them doing that as a team that is all in. on 2023 by necessity. Running out of interesting things to talk about, but you said the Falcons have been very Falcony in the opening hours of free agency, including trading a seventh round pick for Jonnu Smith. You are you're putting on a brave face, and you're claiming it's good for Kyle Pitts. Yeah. So,
well, tell us why. The Falcons are falconing. They signed Jonnu Smith, one of the premier blocking tight ends in the league. Even though I will say, curiously, Pro Football Focus regularly grades him as not a very good blocker. I looked into it, and it was very weird. Anyway, the Falcons also signed right guard Chris Lindstrom, who we've all heard of, to a 5-year extension, and also fullback Keith Smith agrees to terms with Atlanta. So we are building the perfect Arthur Smith machine, folks, full of guys who will block while they establish, like it's 1979. I do think that Jonnu Smith is probably a good sign that, you know,
Kyle Pitts can never fail. He can only be failed. Remember, let's remember this.
Right. And he's too big to fail. And we know what happens there. And, you know, so the Falcons, you know, any Arthur Smith offense is going to use two tight end sets as much or more than any other offense in the league. And that was true last year in his first season with Atlanta. Long story short, you get the blocking tight end. Hopefully you can free up Kyle Pitts to do the route running. And that's what we were sorely missing last year.
Yeah, hopefully Kyle Pitts, they've just told him, like, no longer even work on blocking this offseason.
I would suggest it.
Yeah, just
from a career standpoint, Kyle Pitts, please stop blocking.
Embrace the receiver, stop blocking. Got to get a quarterback for this team. We've talked about it already. The Falcons could be one of those teams to take, like, a big, big jump forward in advance. I mean, talk about a team that's super run-heavy that could become – even if they remain run first, could become a lot pass heavier in 2023 if only they could find a quarterback. Anyone other than Marcus Mariota or Desmond Ridder. Man, if they go into the season of Desmond Ridder, like, I think it's number one pick season for the Falcons. Even though the roster is getting better, I think it would be number one pick season. I think Desmond Ridder is not good.
Yeah, I mean, they're still, well, like, digging out from their own personal hell there at quarterback, and I don't think Ridder is the answer. I'm hoping that they're going to make a move and get one of the top three or four quarterbacks off the draft board. But I don't know. I mean, from what I've read, that doesn't seem very likely. Apparently they're not interested in Lamar Jackson. So that's something.
They're being very methodical. Speaking of digging out, Denny, that's what we're doing. We're trying to find any topics whatsoever. Even though it's going to sound hilariously dated by the time you listen, because a lot more will have happened, but you couldn't leave without talking about Juwan Johnson. Is what
I was aghast that we didn't have Juwan Johnson on the
exclusive
agenda.
Rights free agent back with the Saints.
He's back, folks.
Love him.
Top 10 last year in the second half of the season, targets per route run among tight ends. All right, folks. Look, he's a seam buster. He's a red zone threat. 7 touchdowns. I believe that was third among all tight ends last year. He is a reason people will say tight end is deep. I can get Juwan Johnson in the whatever round. It's still not deep. It's still not deep.
No,
but I think Juwan Johnson can be very useful for fantasy. And I do think that the way Derek Carr has produced and had his best seasons involves a lot of short-ish check down type throws. And, you know, the two positions you think of when you think of those throws, running back, maybe Alvin Kamara, and then Juwan Johnson at tight end. Juwan Johnson's route rate was really good last year for large stretches. So let's not forget about old Juwan as everything else happens in free agency.
You got, of course, the Trout man. And, of course, you have tight end Taysom Hill, though, Denny. So
stop with Troutman. Oh, my goodness.
You're speaking of very Falcons moves, and yet you did not mention them re-signing punter Bradley Pinion. Curious, Denny.
I didn't. I didn't.
They're planning on punting a lot in up here in 2023.
Yeah, right. I mean, we love a team that focuses on punting as much as they do. By the way, Trey Wingo is reporting that Aaron Rodgers to the Jets is a done deal.
So. Interesting. All right. Well, too bad we didn't talk about that.
And we're going to have lots on that on Thursday.
Yeah, well, very briefly. Well, let's do talk about it for two, because it is going to happen. Even he has no other options. Like, it's either retire or go to the Jets. We'll talk about it a lot more on Thursday, by which time we assume it'll be official. Should we? Will it be Garrett Wilson to the moon? Garrett, is it going to be as simple as we hope? Garrett Wilson to the moon. The Jets are taking flight again. Elijah Moore may be relevant again. Maybe even Corey Davis relevant. Or is it going to be like this kind of like the infinite sadness type move that a lot of these late career quarterback switches are?
I'm still not like interested in Rodgers from a fantasy standpoint, but I do think that Garrett Wilson showed that when he had reasonable quarterback play last year, which was, you know, few and far between, he was fine. He was more than fine. He was good as a producer. So I don't know about to the moon. I actually think that Rodgers signing will probably catapult Garrett Wilson into an ADP that makes me uncomfortable. I would be looking more toward Elijah Moore as someone who doesn't get the appropriate ADP bump because people forget and we have short memories and we forget that Elijah Moore was actually quite good as a rookie. Those are sort of my initial thoughts. Wilson probably will be too pricey. Moore will be interesting.
Yeah, and just Aaron Rodgers is just, you know, like we can say what you will about him having to be like the center of attention, like making it all about him. I can understand why someone needs several weeks to come to terms with being the Jets quarterback. I actually can't understand this one. So
it's, man, I just feel like it has disaster written all over it.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers, it's like a horrible like 90s comedy, like Aaron Rodgers let loose on New York City. And like, it's a very, very toxic brew, Aaron Rodgers going to New York City.
The New York media, man, is not going to mesh.
Not going to mesh. I think he like kind of secretly loves he loves the media combat. And he reminds me of a few other people who love media combat out there. Won't name some famous names.
I think that he looks like he loves it, but I actually think
he's not like a certain former president who says he hates it but lives for it, needs it more than anything else.
Yeah.
Ever in his life.
It's oxygen. Yeah.
You're right. I think Aaron Rodgers, he actually does hate it.
Yeah. So. I think he'll continue to go through his media intermediaries and do things that way. I feel like this is a classic Jets move. They already did this.
They did. I mean, they quite literally already did it with Brett Favre.
They did this. And it's like, it's happening again.
Happening again. History is repeating itself, except it'll be even funnier if it doesn't happen. But assuming this is going to happen between this podcast and our next show on Thursday, where we're going to recap, by then the market will be picked clean. There's going to be so much to talk about. Receivers on new teams, running backs on new teams, quarterbacks on new teams. We're going to break it all down Thursday afternoon. So for Denny Carter, I am Patrick Daugherty. Thank you so much for listening and to our initial foray into free agency. Keep it locked to NBC Sports Edge and Roto World. We're going to have all the news updated as soon as humanly possible. Again, for Denny, I'm Pat. Thanks for listening. We'll be back later.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.